You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I got some good news during the commercial break. Talked to my webmaster. She has been diligently working on this. Called her on a whim during the first commercial of the first hour and said, hey, something's going on with the site at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And she jumped right on it. Halted what she was doing on a Saturday night when she had much better things to do than work, and discovered that it was a traffic-related problem. So that's a good problem to have, and it makes sense because it was working all afternoon until I got to the radio station and then noticed it wasn't coming up, and it was traffic. And let me tell you something. You know, we do these quarterly fundraising drives because we have overhead that we have to meet. And one of them is to provide resources for the website. And so we've invested some money to refurbish the website this year. You know, we gave it a new paint job and a fresh look. And we have pretty substantial bandwidth there. It can handle a significant amount of traffic. I mean, we're a nationally syndicated radio show, so it's not like a little mom and pop blog. I mean, we can handle some pretty big numbers. Maybe not, might not handle as much as CNN.com or something, but it's no slouch. Anyway, and we have a great deal of traffic each week to the blog and to the website. But anyway, it was a traffic-related issue. The website is now back up and running. I don't guess that'll do you any good if you're not on it because it was down earlier, but I did want to give you an update since it's been a story we've been following. Did go down due to traffic, and it is now back up. So I guess everybody got tired of going to it and left. When Eddie first came on, when we first started the show in 2004, who's to say how many listeners we had? I would probably be embarrassed to guess. A couple of hundred, maybe. You know, in our first few shows in 2004, when we first getting started, you know, even though we were on a local station that covered the greater Memphis area and surrounding cities. Yeah, I mean, the site just came along. I don't know. We probably had a couple of hundred people a week go to the site during the early days, and now it's tens of thousands each week. And so, anyway, a good problem to have. If you got to have a problem, I'd rather it be that. And that's a good one to have. Well, Eddie, during that last segment, we ran out of time before I could toss it over to you about the We Are Trayvon Martin movement, the social media movement where all these guilty white liberals, these anti-Christian guilty white liberals, because as it was pointed out, and none of the postings that we reviewed, none of them mentioned ever having darkened the door of a church, which you'd probably have to be an agnostic or some sort of a progressive atheist to think the way they think anyway, because that's just not healthy and rational thinking. But just a quick recap. We've talked a lot about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. I want to quickly recap everything that happened just for in case you were living on Mars the last year. If you didn't follow the trial, even though we covered it extensively a couple of weeks ago in our final recap after the acquittal, here's a brief summary compiled by the major news sources as to exactly what happened. Eighth grade honor student Trayvon Martin was walking home from church eager to do his homework when Aryan Nation member George Zimmerman was driving around in his pickup truck with his Confederate flag. He spotted Martin in the dark by the glowing light from his halo. And the Klansman took chase, hunting Trayvon down like a dog. The budding football star nearly outran the racist Zimmerman, but he stopped when he came to a do not enter sign. He was unwilling to disobey the lawful sign, so he turned to face his attacker. Trayvon knew he couldn't reason with the racist Zimmerman, but the illiterate, power-mad cop wannabe wasn't inclined to listen to reason or plead for compassion. Despite numerous specific orders from police officers not to leave his vehicle, Zimmerman exits his truck and says, "Any last words?" Trayvon, of course, replied, as we know, "Praise Jesus, God bless you, sir." Zimmerman dragged the future Nobel Prize winner on top of him. The witness saw the youngster repeatedly swinging his arms, attempting to make the sign of a cross. White Hispanic power, Zimmerman kept screaming as he emptied his high-capacity clip loaded with armor-piercing hollow-point bullets from a semi-automatic assault pistol. Zimmerman then fiendishly punches himself in the face and repeatedly bangs his head on the concrete while screaming, help me," which we all know is racist code for Heil Hitler. After he finished murdering lovely Trayvon Martin, Zimmerman got back into his gas-guzzling global warming pickup truck and made it his escape. The last thing poor Trayvon saw before he died was the Bush Cheney 2004 bumper sticker on Zimmerman's truck. That's pretty much exactly what happened, according to the news. And so you can understand why so many people are joining the We Are Trayvon Martin social media movement to denounce themselves and display their disgust and guilt for being white and for being privileged. Right, Eddie?
That is absolutely right. You know, I have a little solution for these people that have all this white guilt, and I've seen it in action. But I've never seen these people that have all this white guilt. For instance, one lady that put on the blog you talked about, James, she said that she just hated herself because she grew up in this, you know, upper-class white neighborhood with all these privileges. Well, you know what? There's a highway that runs out of that upper-class privileged, high-privileged white neighborhood. It can run down into the hood or the ghetto, whatever you want to term it. And I had this conversation with a lady at a football game when my grandson was in the eighth grade. He was playing football at against another school. You know, they were real well off money-wise. And that same subject came up. And I asked the lady, I said, well, where do you live, dear lady? She lived out in a place in a high-rent district in here in Shelby County called Arlington. I said, well, why don't you sell that house? What's your house note? What is it, $100 a week or something? Oh, Lord, no. My house, don't you know, $3,000 a month or whatever, $4,000. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I have the deal for you. Unload that mansion you've got. I can get you in a house tomorrow for $2,500 cash for the whole house down here in Orange Mound or in South Memphis where I grew up, or maybe over here in North Memphis, which is even as rough as South Memphis, over around the old Firestone Tire and Rubber Company that's now shut down. But you can sell your house. You can move in there for about $2,500 a month. For the whole price of $2,500 for the house. You can sell all your stuff and give it to these poor, underprivileged black people and go out there and just take nice walks around the neighborhood at night, and I'm sure they'll be really good to you. You won't have to worry about being raped. This particular woman I'm talking about, she actually had the nerve to say, well, that would be crazy. I'd have to put bars on my windows and, you know, iron, and I'd have to put an iron door. And, I mean, she was just totally insane. I have another guy. I'm just giving life experiences. I had a friend of mine who grew up. He grew up in a lot better neighborhood than I did. And he was one of these kind of bleeding heart liberal types. And when we got out of high school, he went to work for used to be the Illinois Central Gulf Railroad here in Shelby County. I don't know what it is now. But he was proceeding home one day, and he was having to go through kind of the hood. And some of these poor underprivileged blacks, I guess they were trying to throw an iron bar at a mosquito. But accidentally, I'm sure it was an accident, they busted his windshield out and proceeded to flip him off and, you know, call me all sorts of names like honking, cracker, get out of our neighborhood, et cetera. Well, this guy came home to work and was just foaming at the mouth because all of a sudden he was converted instantly. Well, folks, looks like we're getting ready to go to a break, and maybe we'll take this up when we come back.
Backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, you know, some rabbits are worth chasing. I had intended to spend just the last segment of the first hour talking about the two or three different stories related to Zimmerman and Martin, and they were, of course, the Smithsonian Museum story, how they wanted to display his hoodie, the racist sign, the woman that was holding the sign saying, "I'm racist and proud," and she, you know, was outed as a far-left activist. And then this We Are Not Trayvon Martin social media movement. I wanted to cover all three of those stories in one segment and move on because we spent so much time talking about Zimmerman and Martin-related issues in recent weeks. But this, I think, it goes into something even bigger than the case. It's just the pathology of white guilt and how these people have made themselves feel guilty for being white and for no other reason. I was reading some of the submissions during the first hour that these people have posted onto this website. And once they've gotten through their personal biography of privilege, which is the original sin, their next step is to seek some kind of redemption or absolution. This is done by either affirming their wholehearted belief in the beauty of human equality and multiculturalism, salvation through faith, in other words, or by listing off some kind of volunteer work they've done for the poor and downtrodden, which is salvation through work. So maybe they do go to your church, Eddie, and mine. But I grew up, I'm going to read two or three more, submissions from this and then we're going to move on, but just to show you, one quick comment, and then I'm going to read two or three more submissions. Then we got to move on to other topics. We're going to run out of time here. We need 10 hours tonight.
As you well know, James, and I've kind of backslid with my ministry down in the bad part of Memphis, but I do have a ministry down there trying to, minister to, non-Christians, and the majority of them are black, believe it or not. But there's also a lot of white yuppies down there and hippie, old wannabe hippies. I'd say 95% of them are not only just not Christian, they have a lot of animosity toward Christians. I mean, if you're talking about hatred, you start trying to witness to one of those people down there, and you'll get pure virulent hatred. But that's and you know, on this show we talk about red state, blue state. I'm gonna tell you what, you can't go by that. We have blue states right down here in Midtown and Memphis, and it's a big area down there, James.
Oh, absolutely right, Eddie. You're absolutely right. And if you ask them, they would probably write a submission onto the We Are Not Trayvon Martin website that reads something like this. And here are some other real-life examples. Somebody wrote, I grew up accepting and celebrating people's differences, and I teach my daughter to do the same. My struggle comes from a lack of understanding how someone can hate another person, this is George Zimmerman, of course, or be afraid of another person merely because they have a different skin color or because they're gay or mentally disabled, so on and so on. I am not Trayvon Martin. I'm a white woman living in Los Angeles. And I work as a social worker in the federal program for low-income, recently homeless people who are looking for affordable housing. Again, we're talking about salvation through works here. I am not Trayvon Martin, and this is the last example I'm going to read. I'm a 31-year-old white guy from the suburbs. I work with autistic children and coach youth sports, and dare I say, I'm a pretty decent human being. I'm so thankful the world... Here's the thing. Here's his final statement. I'm so thankful the world was so forgiving of me. What did he have to be forgiven of, Eddie? For what did he have to seek redemption? For being born white. These are all white people. And so this is what I was saying. As we've seen before, and we should no doubt see again, and this is the final paragraph of the rebuttal article we've been referring to, despite killing God, the postmodern world insists on resurrecting him again and again. Only this time, instead of Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb, it's a dead black teenager who, were he still alive today, would call all of these people curse words before punching them in the face and slamming their heads into the sidewalk. And of course, where the Christian confession is a deeply personal and private affair, here we have a bunch of conceited children seeking validation by play-acting it on social media.
You know what? Karl Marx and Lenin and Stalin used to talk about these liberal folks as useful idiots, and that's what they are. They're complete useful idiots. The black people in America, they know what they are. The middle class of black people that are really decent, and there's a lot of them. And by the way, you know, I was telling James, don't get this wrong. I went to a black wedding 2 weeks ago. I went to 2 week weddings in less than 24 hours. One of them was an old man who retired where my wife worked with. Anyway, but then we went to, that was a decent place. But, I've actually joked with those people about these fool liberals. These liberals that are, they're anti-Christ is what they are. And these same people that James is talking about, almost to the man, to the woman, they are what I call tree-hugging animal rightist people. I eat lunch and supper and breakfast at a place called the Arcade here in Memphis. And there's a waitress down there who I love her. She's a dear little lady, but she teaches philosophy at Christian Brothers University here in Memphis. And surprise, surprise, she teaches philosophy, and she actually teaches, get this, James, she teaches a course, this is a college course, you get college credit at a very reputable university here in Memphis, and the course is animal rights, and they're teaching these people that,
animal rights.
She teaches a college course, help me God, so called animal rights, and you get college credit, you can graduate with a bachelor's degree in pre-law or pre-whatever, if you have this course, I hope people don't get tired of me hammering this, but it's just more symptoms of the satanic assault on Christianity. And do I have time to make a quick announcement? I would like to know if people out there, if since our internet's up, I would like you to email us in here tonight, because I've been wanting to do a show to take at least an hour on the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant, and how I kind of disagree with the pastor of Pike last week. I say to you that the Old Testament has been fulfilled pretty much, and I want to back that up with Scripture. I would like to know how many people out there. I don't want to do it if y'all want to hear it. You may be sick of hearing me talk about this, but I want to do a show on the New Covenant versus Old Covenant. Has it been fulfilled or not? Do we have a new contract? I want to also bring that in, and I want to completely destroy, you've heard me talk about this before, the fallacy that the Jews are now the chosen people and they do not need Jesus Christ. I would love to do a program on that, but I don't want to do a program on that if the people out there are sick and tired of hearing us talk about that. So email us in, let us know. We'll take a poll on that.
Well, as we mentioned, the website was down at the very top of the show for most of the first hour because of listener traffic, which is a great problem to have. But I can tell you, Eddie, that the email is working now. In fact, A listener from Colorado just wrote in, responding to the Oprah Winfrey story we covered a few minutes ago, saying that he's currently listening to the show out there in Colorado. And he corrected me on one thing, and we like to be corrected when we're wrong. This story took place in Switzerland. I believe I said that it took place in Holland. But he offers a follow-up to the story. The government of Switzerland has issued an apology for the racist actions of that racist shopkeeper. So he wanted to pass that that on. Oprah Winfrey goes in, and the clerk shows her a purse. You know, not the one she wanted to see, but one that she thought she might like more. And because Oprah perceived that to be a racist attack against her, the government of Switzerland issues an apology on behalf of the shopkeeper. That is sick. That's sick. Man. All right, we're going to two stories when we come back. Criminal background checks are racist. And a good story, probably the only one we'll get to tonight. A freshman at the University of Georgia State University, starting a white student union. We're going to get to both of those stories next. But quick, Eddie, you wanted to respond to, I guess, the Switzerland, the government of Switzerland, which is a pretty rightist country by all accounts. Well, Eddie forgot what he was going to say. That happens at Eddie's age. But we're at a break anyway, so I guess it's moot point. We'll be back. Or maybe we're not at a break. Maybe I was just hearing music in my ear, like Tubular Bells or something. Okay, no, never mind. We're not even at a break. Look, we're just having a good time tonight is what we're doing. We're just, you know, we're just having fun on the radio. The smelling of the wine, the $7 wine that you brought me through the bottle, even though it hasn't been uncorked yet, is getting me going, I guess. But now I hear music. I know I hear it this time. I think. We'll be back, maybe. Stay tuned, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm going to try to get through a few stories here in relatively short order. This is just par for the course for the Obama administration now, but they have deemed and declared criminal background checks to be racist. Criminal background checks are racist. Now, you know how it works. You go in and interview for a job, and they like to know if you're a hardcore felon, right? Well, that's racist, though, for them to do that. Here's the story out of the Washington Post. Not wanting to employ a criminal makes you a racist. At least that's what the Obama administration has determined to be a law with a regulation made without congressional approval. Businesses are fighting the charge that not wanting ex-cons on the payroll is illegal discrimination. On June 11th, so this story is a couple of weeks old now, we're just now getting to it, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, filed federal lawsuits against BMW and Dollar General, alleging that their use of criminal background checks violated the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of race. It violates their civil rights to run a criminal background check. Now, it's not as though, yeah, it wouldn't affect blacks, because we know blacks don't commit crimes, and they're not criminals. It's not as though BMW and Dollar General were just running these background checks on blacks. They run them on everybody. But anyway, the story continues. The agency claims that the companies disproportionately screened out black Americans. Like almost all other employers, Dollar General conditions its job offers on criminal background checks. The standard screen looks at certain types of offenses, such as theft and fraud, all within a certain period. The EEOC claims that the results in a disparate process of running a criminal background check, quote, results in a disparate impact against blacks, end quote, even though the standard is the same for whites and blacks, which I just mentioned. The case was filed in federal court in Illinois and claims that the almost 11,000-store nationwide chain, Dollar General, which employs 100,000 Americans, unfairly rejected two black applicants, one of whom was convicted of a drug possession, the other of another felony charge. But somehow they were unfairly rejected. A spokesman for Dollar General said that the company will fight the EEOC lawsuit and stands by its policies to create a safe environment for its customers and fellow employees. So there you have it, Eddie. I mean, racism is anything that black people don't like. Apparently, running a criminal background check and screening out felons and drug users is racist. And that's not just their opinion. That's the opinion of the Obama administration, who has gone to bat on this issue.
Mr. President, I couldn't agree with you more, sir. I would suggest that you stop doing your surveillance of the American people and the people of the world. For instance, stop looking at every single email transmission we make, every single computer transmission we make, every single telephone call like you do. And that's why we have people in hiding for their life right now. That's why we have people that have been murdered in the past. And we're going to talk about more about that on the third hour. And also, Mr. President, I would like to respectfully submit that you stop screening employees coming into the White House and stop screening employees that are coming into the private school where your precious little daughters go to school. I mean, after all, don't screen those Secret Service agents that escort your little teenage girls to school. I mean, after all, if you have like a serial rapist that's been, he's been detected and been proved to be a serial rapist, that is very discriminatory, Mr. President. He deserves to be around those teenage daughters of yours because that's the only way he can exorcise the demons that he has in his heart for being guilty for being a serial rapist in the past. So you need to hire those people in there. After all, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, Mr. President.
The thing, Eddie, is not that the Obama administration would opine that criminal background, that's a Freudian slip there, criminal background checks are racist. You would expect them to say that. But the fact that they put this in as a law, that it's racist to, or illegal to run a criminal background check now without congressional approval, according to the Washington Post, I mean, we're quoting an establishment news source here. That's sick. And we got a caller. We got a caller. Okay, we're going to go to Eddie, and then we're going to get to the caller. You say something, and then go to the caller.
I talked to Lee Harvey Oswald Jr. the other day. He gets in touch with the cesspool of every now and then. He told me he would like to apply for a Secret Service position. He wants to specifically guard the president, and I say they should hire him and do not check on, give him a background check to find out who his dad was.
Well, not only that, Obama should hire his Secret Service staff from the Orange Mound area of Memphis because it's just good, upstanding people down there. South Memphis, sure. All right, we have a caller. Are you with us, caller?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. You're on the political cesspool with James Edwards and Eddie Miller.
Hi, I was calling about three different issues. The first one was about supporting Zionist churches.
Uh-huh.
It seems to me that... I don't know why anyone's ever made this argument, but according to Revelations 21, it says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down from heaven, from God. So the current state of Israel can't be the state of Israel that God, because it's God didn't send it down from heaven. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is something that I want to toss over to the bombardier, Eddie Miller. And we actually posted, and we talked about this last week with our featured guest, Reverend Ted Pike, should you attend a pro-Zionist church? And he wrote a long article about that, which we reposted after his appearance on our website this week, which now, by the way, again, folks, is back up and running. Eddie, this is right up your alley. This is your passion, so I'm going to let you take it.
Caller, you're absolutely right. I am certainly no Bible scholar. I've just been a Christian for about 4.5 years. But my Sunday school teacher, who is a Bible scholar, has actually, and I think you probably pointed out, I'm not hearing that well tonight, thanks to the U.S. government in Vietnam. But the physical measurements for this New Jerusalem is actually laid out in the Testament, if I'm not mistaken. Come here. Oh, okay. Am I right, caller? Because evidently you're fresh on the actual measurements for the New Jerusalem laid out. I would also like to point out one thing, and I'm sure the caller knows. Israel, the country of Israel, never conquered all the promised land that they were deeded over to by God. And I'm sure the caller knows this. I'm going to shut up because I want to hear the caller, his comments. And the reason they never did take all the land that was supposed to be deeded to them by God is because they sinned. They never obeyed God. And with every promise God has made to man, there is always a condition. There is always this little two-letter word is called if. If you do this, I will do that. If you do A, I will do C. Now I'm going to toss this back over to the caller and see what the caller has to say about that.
No, I pretty much covered that topic. I'm just going to say, according to the Bible, it said God would bring Jerusalem from heaven. That would be the new Jerusalem. Therefore, this is the Jerusalem now is just a man-made state. It's not a God-made state. So,
Eddie Miller is pumping his fist with a thumbs-up sign. You're right on target. You said you had a couple of other things you wanted to cover?
Yes. The other thing I wanted to ask you was, is there any way you could that each host could have their own personal email so we could write to them directly?
Yeah, we should do that. I'll pass along a request to the webmaster for that. I think when we had a couple of emails up from hosts that have changed, and when we were scurrying to revamp the new website, we just didn't get that done. So that's an easy fix.
Okay, and my last point is, I really wish that Eddie would write his life story and post it, because the left always writes their stories, and they post them all over the internet, just like the ones you were reading. And I really think that should be in print so people can post it and read it.
I think you're, again, onto something, and I appreciate you saying that. And I know it flatters Eddie to hear you say that, but it's the truth. You know, we try to give a little bit of Eddie's flesh to the audience, if you will, in his appearances, in his capacity as a co-host. But the caller was saying, and thank you so much for the call. We hope to hear from you again, and thank you for being a listener. The caller was saying that he hopes that you will one day write an autobiography detailing your life story and going through the racial change and strife in America from the perspective of a conservative Southerner.
Caller, I wish you had hung up. Maybe if I'd like to ask you to email us in if you're still listening. Thank you very much for that. I've had a few other people tell me that, and you know, I wouldn't go back to those days for nothing. It was horrible beyond any belief. It was worse than anything I experienced in the Army. But thank you very much for that. I think that's something all of us Cesspoolians need to do, including Winston, who has a very colorful background. All of us do. But listen, also, caller, if you will, email in and us and let us know if you would like us to cover that course I'm talking about on the radio.
And you can just send it into the media address at the contact page of thepoliticalcesspool.org, and our staff will make sure it gets delivered to Eddie. We'll be back. Stay tuned, everybody.
And come back to the Political Cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
We got, girl, the world, girl, we got a
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller here, now at full strength with a website that's back online after traffic took it down. Again, excited about that. Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network, host of the Daily Liberty Roundtable Show, will be with us for the first couple of segments of the third hour. Then we're going to hear from our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Peter Scoop Stanton. Got a lot of more news to cover during that third and final hour, so stay tuned for that. But first, a couple of quick hits. Sharon Osbourne has taken on Justin Bieber, so leave it to Ozzy's wife to say something sensible here. I mean, you know, again, the blind hog finds an acorn from time to time. She is the latest white celebrity to come under attack for racism. Sharon Osbourne is being skewered as a racist here in the last few days because she said in an interview that she thinks that Justin Bieber is lost. This is what she said, and I quote, "I think he's lost. I really do. I think he doesn't realize he's white and not black, and that's a huge problem. It's very dangerous, and we've seen it all before a million times," end quote. So basically, she said that this young punk, Justin Bieber, acts like he's black or thinks he's black by the way he dresses, by the way he talks, by the way he carries himself. And first of all, I think it's great to see Bieber being shamed by a record industry peer for such abhorrent and disgusting behavior. Acting like a thug, wearing, you know, clothing, you know, outside of his culture, just for whatever reason. And she said, and this is Sharon Osbourne again, "He doesn't realize he's white and not black. It's a huge problem." And of course, that's an unacceptable line of thinking. And so Sharon Osbourne, who I've never heard to be conservative or anything but politically correct in her thinking, but she nailed this one spot on. I don't know if we'd agree with her on anything else. Maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't. I just don't know that much about her. But she got this one right. And, of course, she's being labeled a racist because the only appropriate way for her to comment on Justin Bieber was to say, "I think it's great that he acts like a black thug, and every other white kid should as well. It'd be shameful if he acted like a decent, upstanding teenager. I wish everybody could act like that." Now, that's what she was supposed to say, but she didn't. And so now she's defending accusations of racism. Not a big story, but an interesting one. But here is a good story. A freshman says he's going to start a white student union at Georgia State University. Now, white student unions on college campuses are cropping up more and more. They're becoming more frequent occurrences, which is, it's a good thing. The radical left says white students shouldn't have a union, even though they're a minority on campus. See, at Georgia State University, whites are a minority, but they shouldn't be entitled to have a white student union there, despite the fact that there's a black student union, a Latino student union, a gay student union, so on and so forth. Here's the story. Fall semester won't start for another few days, but Georgia State University has already received a handful of complaints about a new student club, the White Student Union. Freshman Patrick Sharp said he started the club so that students of European and Euro-American descent can celebrate their shared history and culture and discuss issues that affect white people, such as immigration and affirmative action. Seems rational enough. The club is not an official student group recognized by the university, of course. Sharp said any student can join, including minorities, or I guess the whites would be the minority here, but including non-whites, in other words, and that he would work with other clubs, such as the Black Student Alliance, on common issues. "If we're already a minority on campus and are soon to be minorities in this country, why shouldn't we have the right to advocate for ourselves and have a club just like every other minority?" said the student, who is 18 years old. "Why is it when a white person says he is proud to be white, he's shunned as a racist?" That's one of the most logical questions I've heard from somebody outside of a listener of this radio show in a long, long time. But here's what's even more interesting. Six students complained to the university after seeing his flyers around campus, says Doug Covey, vice president for student affairs. But here's the thing that's interesting. Covey, who again is the vice president of student affairs at Georgia State University, said he responded to each by explaining to those who were offended by this group's presence that this group is within its right to exist and that the speech of the White Student Union is protected, even if it offends some. Of course, that's the sensible response, but normally the administration and faculty of a college says that they have no rights, that this is a racist group and that they shouldn't have the rights to exist and to meet. So it's a good story. First of all, here you have a student who, to my knowledge, isn't a listener of the Political Cesspool. I've never seen him at a conference. He's not a known entity that has joined other pro-European American groups. He is just a student that's out there that thinks rationally on these issues. And I'm telling you, folks, despite the We Are Not Trayvon Martin nonsense, I am seeing a growing momentum building around the country on our issues. More and more people are beginning to think for themselves, just like this young man has done. Now, as I've mentioned before, by no means are we approaching a critical mass yet, but I'm seeing more of an awakening out there, certainly much more than I saw in observing the social landscape in 2004 when the political cesspool first burst onto the airwaves and began dominating headlines for issues such as this and became known as the legitimate AM mainstream radio program to discuss these issues. I didn't see a lot of that people standing up and speaking out, but it seems like we can't go a show now, Eddie, and I'm not just talking about our audience. I'm talking about people not involved with our show, people even in other parts of the world who are standing up and speaking out in a courageous way, speaking common sense much more often than I've seen it during the run, during our run on the airwaves.
You know what? In a kind of a backward way, this reminds me of before I got drafted at the University of Memphis. It was MSU then, and they said they would not draft you out of college, but that was a lie because I was in college, they drafted me. It was very rare in those days, very rare indeed, to see a black and a white racial couple. I think I saw one time, and I remember in the student union, and I just went up to the lady, and I asked her what did she think her parents would say to her if she could see what she was doing at this moment. Right now, and I'm leading to this point of the story, right now it's really common to see blacks with white women. And you're seeing more white men with black women, but normally it's the reverse. I think a lot of, and we talked about some of this a little bit before, but I'd like to recap it. I think a lot of what I've been able to get from my grandson and other young people, there's a severe pressure on white girls to go with blacks when they don't want to, and a lot of them give in and do it because they don't want to be called racist. I think this guy has a good idea here. If we could get a white student union for white, like-minded white people that want to stay with their own race, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, I think it's the healthiest thing in the world, to quote you, James Edwards. It's the healthiest thing in the world to want, if you're black, to be proud of being black. If you're Italian, Mexican, et cetera, et cetera. But if, you know, the question I have, and I wrote a letter to the Black Student Union in Memphis one time, University of Memphis, asking them, if you're so almighty proud of being black, in fact, at one time there was a little quote going around saying, say it loud, black and proud. I said, if you are so proud of being black, why do you chase these white women like crazy? I wrote a letter to the student union asking them. I said, and they responded back real, and you know, in a malicious tone. And so I wrote another letter and I said, I'll keep this civil. I just asked them, well, how does it feel? They had a black female editor. How does it feel to know that your black boyfriend, when he's going out with you, and he sees a beautiful white woman, and that's going to be 90% of the white women are going to be beautiful than you are, more beautiful than you are. How does it feel to know that your boyfriend would desert you in a heartbeat? And this has been quite a while ago before the race mixing was as common as it is now. How does it feel to know that your boyfriend would desert you in a heartbeat? How does it feel to know, for a white woman, how does it feel to know that in our recent math science fair we had, they showed all the big you know, the big recipients of the Math Awards going from the present all the way back to the 1400s, and every single one of them to a man were white men. There was no blacks in there that had ever discovered anything of importance in mathematics and science. How does it feel to know that that you're spewing a bunch of virulent hatred lies?
Well, Eddie, I think that's somewhat related to what we were talking about. And I mean, it, you know, as far as it goes, that is a fact. I mean, most of the – to say most is an understatement. But, the you know, inventions, technological advancements, and so on, discoveries, we know there are there is a certain group of people that can claim ownership on almost all of that. But the fact remains that as far as a student union goes, all races – yeah, we got to have the White Guilt Union now, and these We Are Not Trayvon Martin posters can start that. But every group has its own interests that are unique to it. Blacks are not going to share the opinions of whites on issues like affirmative action that discriminates against whites so that employers can meet a certain quota. It rewards based upon set-asides rather than excellence. And so whites will have heartfelt concerns about that. That can be addressed in a union such as this, a white student union. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. We all benefit as mature adults to have open conversations and discourse on sensitive issues. That's what grown-ups do. We don't shout down people and call people names because we disagree with them. That's what our opponents do. We'll be back with the third hour.
The rule is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.